The Great Commission. All right, we're going to break this down. And I got good news. You're not going to take long to get through this unless you listen slowly, because we're just going to pick one word out of this whole thing that I read. Go. Just that. Just go. You can take one word that Jesus said, and you could talk about it for a long time, could you not? But I want to just look at this. This is what we call, last week we opened this up talking about the mission. The mission. We don't so much talk about missions here as we talk about the mission. It's His mission. We read in John 17 where Jesus said, "As the Father has sent me, as you've sent me, I'm sending them." It was His mission. Now He gives that mission to us. As He was sent by the Father, He perfectly and completely fulfilled that mission. But now He, amazing that God would choose to do it this way. Now He chooses to send us to fulfill and to carry out that mission. We refer to this, as I said, as the Great Commission. This passage that I read. We refer to it as the Great. You knew that, didn't you? The Great Commission. All right. Commission. What does that mean? Well, we throw around a lot of these things, the Great Commission, but what does it mean? We use a lot of words at church that if you didn't grow up in church, you're like, what are we? And if you grew up, you say, well, we've always said that. What does it mean? All right, let's talk about it. Here we go. Commission. A commission means this. What's the definition of it? It means an authorization to perform certain duties. So you are authorized by someone else who has the authority. You are authorized by them to perform certain duties or to be empowered. It's authority to act for another, that which one is authorized to do for another. So here's the thing. Here's Christ and His mission. And now He authorizes us, empowers us to carry on His mission. You might look at it as commission, as co-mission. It's His mission. And now that we are part of His family, we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and we are in the family of God. See, we didn't do all of that. He didn't just die on the cross to pay for your sins and raise from the dead just to give you new life, just so you can go to heaven and just everything just be easy. He's left you here for a reason. If that's all He wanted to do, the moment that you received Christ as Savior, He would have just taken you right on. There's something He wants to do in your life and through your life here. Now, we've got a lot of things going on. I know there's work. I know there are bills to pay. And hey, the Lord likes for us to enjoy ourselves and things, but none of that is as important as the mission. Because you can spend your whole life trying to make money. You can spend your whole life trying to accomplish this or accomplish that. And then I've got news for you. You're going to die. Nothing like being cheered up here on Father's Day, right? It's going to happen. And then what? What is it all about? What does it all mean? Even if you do make a lot of money, you're going to leave it behind. Your kids will go blow it. And they won't even appreciate it. There's got to be something more, right? Even if you're famous, people forget about you in no time, right? Even if it's sports, there comes a time that you just remember what you used to do, but you can't do it anymore. That's why I kind of lay back on that anymore, because what happened the last time I tried to race you to first or base or on the bases, Caleb? Yeah, hamstring, and I tried to get out and play basketball a while back, and the brain remembers, but I hadn't done this in a while, and it sends the signal, and there's a disconnect somewhere, because it's not happening. You get hurt. But you know what, even if you win, you know, we're so proud, and we're still just got the warm fuzzies about our boys winning the state championship, right, in baseball. That is just, we're the only ones in our class in the whole state of Missouri that can say that. But you know, the thing about it is, and old Joe did a good job, and our boys, we got some of you here today that won that thing. But here's the deal. Next year, we're just going to be talking about what have you done for us lately, you know? When next season starts, they're like, well, we did that, but what are you doing now, right? They'll forget all about that. And so it doesn't last, but it's a great thing, but we've got to have more. I want to tell you, this is more. This is the more that impacts your daily life. It impacts all of your life. It impacts your eternity. That there is a purpose. There is a reason for you being here, even though sometimes you can't figure it out. If you're here, he wants to do something in and through your life. It's his mission. So Christ commissions us to carry on that responsibility. He gives us the authority to carry on the work. Listen to this. We're talking about you and I, as lost as we were, being redeemed by Jesus' death on the cross, our lives being transformed, and then you and I, people like us, people who, if we got what we deserved, we'd be separated from God forever. All we deserve was hell. But because of his grace, not only can we have a home in heaven, but now we get to help be a part of carrying on the work of God in this world, on planet Earth, in what we call time. Hey, you can't get any better than that. Now, this doesn't mean you have to go off and go to some foreign country or be full-time into this. But it means that every one of us, as part of the body of Christ, we all have a function. And God wants to work in and through your life. Hey, I want to tell you, the majority of the work of this church isn't done by this guy. You want to know that? That's the truth. You accept that? See, here's what the pastor's job is, according to the Bible, is to be an equipper, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. So basically what we're doing here is to worship and to equip all of us to go outside of these walls. That's where he does the work, through you. He wants to equip you so you can go, and we spread out into the community. We've got people who work in all kinds of jobs and touch with all kinds of people in all kinds of places around this area. We have the potential of impacting this area, just this congregation, this whole area, for Christ. As we go and we do our daily work, we interact, we go go shopping, go play golf, go do whatever. We have an opportunity to impact someone. But then you put together all the other churches in our community that are doing the same thing we're doing. We're all part of one team. Why aren't we? Are we making an impact? Not like we should. Here's the problem. Here's the problem. The Great Commission has become the Great Omission. We're just kind of doing our own thing, living for ourselves. We're focused on us. It's all about me too often. And we miss out. We lose. Because I see that when Jesus says go, that was a command, was it not? He wasn't just talking to these guys. He was talking to his disciples. He was talking to his church. And as they did what he said, and they reach others, and they make disciples of Jesus, of those people, and they teach them to observe the things that he taught, then those people are going to be going. And so Jesus commands us to go, all of us. All right, let's look at that. Because in that word go, I see about three words I want us to remember. The first word is this word right here. And you may have notes. We put them out there this morning, so hopefully you do. You can fill in some blanks. Urgency. When he says go, I sense a sense of urgency. Jesus was sent by the Father, and he's fulfilled the mission for which he came. He now tells us to go. That's the commission he's given us. Now, the word go. What does it mean? Go? Never thought about it. Here's what this word means in this context. It literally means to proceed from one place to another. He doesn't mean go in circles. We got to get going, got to get going. Where are you going? I don't know, but I'm going. I got to get there in a hurry. That's not what he's talking about. It doesn't mean that there's just a lot of motion. What go means as you proceed from one place to another, as you travel. Okay, how about this? As you go about even your daily business. Now, you are going to go into all the world, because in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he says that you'll start here in Jerusalem, and then Judea, and then Samaria, then to the uttermost, every nook and cranny. I'm not sure what a nook and cranny is, but it's every little place on the planet. You're going to go, and you're going to be a witness to me. You're going to tell this. You're going to do this. All right, so this is what he's saying. I want you to proceed from one place to another. So that's the thing. We don't just go, but we are to go with his message. We go with his, not our own message. We're not doing our own thing. We go in his with his message. We go in his name. We go by his power, doing the things he has instructed us and empowered us to do. I mean, how can we lose with that? His name, his message, his power. We're doing what he's instructed us. And he says, if you do this, I will give you the enablement that you need to carry this out. Now, as you look at this story, if you go on to Acts and find the same scene, after Jesus gave them this commission, you know what happened? It says that Jesus ascended out of their sight. He ascended back to the Father's right hand. He ascends, and there are clouds, and he disappears out of sight. And can you imagine? They're just like processing. I mean, they hadn't read this before, right? They didn't know what was going to happen. And there he goes. See, they still thought that at this time he was going to just go ahead and conquer the world and rule and reign from Jerusalem, straighten everybody out. That's not the way it was going to happen. They still don't get it all. And as they're standing there, angels appear. And you remember what they ask them? It says, why do you men of Galilee stand gazing in the sky? In other words, why are you guys standing here gawking in the sky? What did he say? Huh? Did he say stand here? He said, what did he say? He didn't really come across like that, but that's the point. He said, go. Well, the first place they would go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit, because you're not going to do this in your own power. He's going to empower you. And then they're to go into all the world. So this is the Father's heart right now. He tells all of us to go. You know what? I'm glad that they did it. I'm glad that they went. Aren't you? And then the disciples that they trained, they went. And on they proceeded from one place to another on the planet and through time until it reached me. I got this message. My family got this message. And do you want to know why? It's because these guys did what he said when he said go. All the way across the planet and through time. Here it is. Now what are we going to do with it? Hey, the ball is in our court, as they say. What are we going to do? Well, I have to say we're not doing very well. We want to talk about some of the years past. And we look back in past decades as the golden time. And, you know, and you go to meetings and stuff. And personally, I get a little sick of hearing people talk about how it used to be. How people used to. And, you know, even going to meetings, people say, you know, and boy, we'd sing these songs and grandma would get happy and start shouting. But those same people, if somebody starts shouting today, would be like, oh, you know, it's all right to talk about they did it back then. But what about now, huh? And how great it was. But no matter, and it was great in the 40s, in the 50s. Things began to change. But something about the, and I'm not trying to knock older generation, but somehow or another there was a disconnect between what they believed and them passing it on to their kids. Somehow there was a disconnect. Because even the great generation that had it down somehow didn't do that great a job of passing it down. And that next generation got off track really bad, and we're still reeling. So what I'm saying is it enough for us to just have it down and come here and have our little church fest, you know? And boy, we're right, and we're good, we're all this and that. We've got to pass it down to our kids. We've got to connect with them. We've got to communicate the truths that we believe to them. The truths never change. Sometimes our manner of communication might have to change, but the truth never changes. And so what about us here? Because we can think about, well, you know, in 2013 and how things were, and what's it going to be like for these kids that's up in, and they're worshiping upstairs in children's church? Are we impacting them? Is this just something that we just do on Sunday? You know, it's got to be deeper than that. So let's keep progressing from place to place. We're doing it here. We're doing it around the planet as we're involved in God's work, as He spreads His word to every tribe, every nation, every tongue. I was, you know, reading this week about missionaries from centuries ago. Do you know how much, do you know the price that men and women paid just so that we could have the gospel today? Do you realize that? Have you thought about that lately? They studied, they prepared. Many of them studied and prepared for years, only finally to go and travel by ship across the ocean to arrive at a foreign country and then die. Wow. I mean, they didn't have the protection that we have today. Malaria, that's not such a big deal today, although it can kind of be a big deal, wasn't, it was a huge deal back then. They didn't have any vaccinations or anything. They would show up, get in contact with a disease that their body had never been in, and die. I mean, it was a big problem. You ought to read stories of people like William Carey and Hudson Taylor. That might be familiar names to some of you, but if it's not, you need to look into it. Great missionaries of centuries past. I was actually reading, I like to read sermons. Can you believe that? An old preacher that preached 150 years ago named Charles Spurgeon. I've got if you're in my office, I got volumes and volumes of his books, plus I've got them on my computer. But I was reading a sermon that he was preaching April 30th, 1884 in London to the Baptist Missionary Society. They had sent out missionaries, and one guy from their own church had gone and died. His last name was Hartley. Listen to what Spurgeon says. I want to read it to you. He says, "My heart is grieved for the death of the beloved Hartley and those noble men who preceded him to the grave. I had seen him especially, for it had been a joy to assist him for 3 years in preparing for missionary service. Alas, the preparation led to small visible results. He left us. He landed. He died. Surely the Lord means to make further use of him. If he did not make him a preacher to the natives, he must intend that he should preach to us. I may say of each fallen missionary, he being dead yet speaketh. Faithful unto death, they inspire us by their example. Dying without regret in the cause of the Master, they remind us of our own indebtedness to him. Their spirits rising to his throne are links between this missionary society and the glorified assembly above. Let not our thoughts go downward to their graves, but rise upward to their thrones. Does not our text point with a finger of flame from earth to heaven? Do not the dear departed ones mark a line of light between the two worlds?" Yeah, that's good. That's true. That happens. There is a sense of urgency. The end's coming. A lot of people haven't heard. But there are a lot of people that you come in contact with that don't understand. They don't get it. There's urgency. We need to go. But there's not only urgency. Are you ready to move on? There's also hesitancy here, because I don't see that in Jesus' words. I see that in our response. Because on God's part, there is urgency, but on our part, there is hesitancy. That's why he had to command us to go. I mean, why would he even have to command us to go unless he knew that we would have a tendency to be hesitant? We're too preoccupied. We're troubled. We got so many things. There are more things coming at us in this world we live in today. That's one way I know we're getting close to the end of time. You know, the spring's getting wound pretty tight, isn't it? I was talking to, I think me and Glenn were talking about it. I was talking to someone else about it, maybe Daryl, I can't remember, about, I remember, you know, there's tougher times, you know, come along here lately, but nothing like what we've seen in this country, but some of you've lived through. I remember sitting and talking to my granny. That was my great-grandma. She passed away in 03. She's up in her 90s. But it was great growing up right next door to Granny and Gramp. Now, Granny was born, she was born in 09. Gramp was born in 05. They raised my grandpa and his siblings during the Depression. Their kids were all born in the 20s, and they raised them. You know, and the farm that my folks still have is where they scratched out a living on that dirt for generations and generations, even going back to Gramp's daddy, way back there. They grew cotton, they did different things. Then later a dairy farm. But I said, well, it must have been tough raising the kids during Depression. She, you know, like a lot of people around here, we were so poor during that time that, you know, we were already depressed. So it didn't, but said, you know, she talked about how they made it all summer long on $35. They grew everything that they ate. They only bought, like, you know, some flour, some sugar, and a few things like this. were able to carry a little note at the store till they got their cotton bales sold. I was talking to Granny, she goes, people couldn't do it today. First of all, they don't even know how to grow their own food. They don't know how to survive. They wouldn't even know where to start. But the other thing is, we didn't have electricity bill. We didn't have a water bill. We didn't have an automobile payment. Didn't have an automobile. Didn't buy any gasoline. We didn't have satellite TV to pay for. And do I need to keep going on and talk about things like internet and internet radio or XM radio and all that? We got bills. We got so many things coming at us today. Everybody wants our money, right? And so we've got so many expense, so many things, and there's so many activities that it just blows the mind. Here's what I'm saying. That in our day, we're going to have to be very intentional about this, or we will never go, because the devil already has in this world so many things, and they're not all bad things, but there's just so many things that can preoccupy our mind and our time and our attention that we just never get around to it. Many think they just don't have the time to serve God. Is that right? I don't have time to serve God? Think about this. I don't have time for the one who gives me every beat of my heart. I don't have time for the one who gives me every breath that I breathe. And when I tell God, I just got all this other stuff, but I have no time for my Creator. What if He goes, well, maybe I haven't got time to give you the next breath. What do you think about that? Because one of these days, God's going to say, time's over. And when God says time's over, I don't care how busy you think you are, how important you think you are, it's over. We want to go to heaven. All of us do, don't we? I mean, unless you're just weird or crazy. Yeah, we all want to go to heaven. We all agree, yes, Lord, thank you. We just don't want to go, as it says up there, into all the world, sharing the gospel. That's our problem. Hudson Taylor said, let us give up our work, our plans, ourselves, our lives, our loved ones, our influence, our all, right into God's hand. And then when we have given all to Him, there will be nothing left for us to be troubled about. Amen? Give it all to Him. Hudson Taylor also tells a story about being in a missionary service back in the homeland, and a guy came up to him, and the guy had lost both. And this is in the old days. He had lost both of his legs. Because back then, if they had war, if they had anything, and you got any infection, pretty much that's how they dealt with it. And so he had prosthetics that they'd made out of wood, kind of like Paul Murray had, but he had two of them, and he would hobble along with some. This is, you know, way back centuries ago, and he came to him at a service and said he would like to go. He says, well, you can't go. You don't have any legs. He says, yeah, but I don't see anybody with two legs going. Ouch. He was willing. That's a great story, and I wonder, what about me? So we spend a lot of our time with things. I mean, so much energy, so much talent, so much money are spent on things that just aren't going to last. You know it? We have a lot of our zeal, a lot of our energy is consumed on things that really don't matter. Think about it. What occupies our energy, our attention, our time? And let me ask you, 100 years from now, 1,000 years from now, will that matter? This will matter. What about all the things that we're so wrapped up in? Because we don't take the time to focus on the eternal things. We get our focus right down here. And remember that one of these days, all these things in this world are going to be burned up. They're going to be gone. We're pouring all of our energy and all our life into something that's not eternal, something that's not going to last. Let me get a verse on that before we wrap this up. 2 Peter 3:10, he's telling us this. He said, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Reminds me of during the time of the great Chicago fire, D.L. Moody was ministering in that great city, and some of the people were talking about, you know, the effects of it and how devastating. They said, well, it's tough, but you know what? God's going to burn all this up one of these days anyway. The important stuff's still here. That's a deep testimony. The next verse. Since we know this, therefore, verse 11, 2 Peter chapter 3, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? In other words, knowing this ought to affect your priorities and the way that you live. Some people may be content you know, to just kind of come and hang out at worship, just come to church and, you know, do their church thing and all. But you know what? When it comes to the kingdom of God, listen, I mean, sometimes you're here because I should be here. It's just my duty. But when it comes to the kingdom of God, here's a statement I want you to think about. When it comes to the kingdom of God, don't be content just to slip in and hide out in the crowd. Don't just come along for the ride. Get involved. Don't hesitate. We're talking about the stuff of life. We're talking about the stuff of eternity. You know what? I always thought I might die young or I might live to be old. Although the I might die young thing is beginning to carry a little less and less weight. I'm starting to get on past that, you know. But I don't know. I might not live a long time. I don't know. But one thing I know is that I don't want to quit living for God before I die. You know, I want to go all the way. All right. So one more word. Are you ready? We had urgency and then the problem with hesitancy. But here's the last word I'll leave with you. Expectancy. Expectancy. He not only urges us to go, I think from what we get here, he expects us to go. So what is your life? What does it mean? At the end of each day, I must ask myself, what has been the significance of my existence on planet Earth today? See, as we studied in the Gods at War series, Christ shouldn't only be first, but he should also be first, second, and third on my list of priorities because he's the Lord, amen? He is calling us to a deep, intimate relationship with himself, and he empowers us to carry on his mission. Now, what do you got that's more important than that? Here's the other thing, and you ought to feel this way. You're a believer, you're a Christian, you're a disciple. We're going to talk more about that, Lord willing, next week. Every Christian is placed here to be an instrument in the salvation of others. Do you look at yourself that way? Do you realize according to what he said, as he said, go, this means that there is, listen, somebody out there that if they're going to be saved, and we're talking about eternity and we're talking about heaven and hell here for a real person, God intends for you to be an instrument in that person's salvation. Planting the seed, watering the seed, you may be there to harvest it. Is there anybody in this world you can think of right now that you would like to see not go to hell? I'm just going to be blunt. Are you going? Are you pointing the way? Are you someone that, since you know the Lord, that he's working through your life to show them the truth? I mean, you can do a lot of things to turn them off to the Lord. Yeah. But am I? I mean, this is exciting that I could be a part of that. I mean, I think it's like, oh boy, I got this big responsibility. No, it's exciting. Just like these missionaries who went and gave their lives, they didn't go like, oh boy, I guess I better do this. This is what God wants. Well, I better got to do it. It's not that. It's excitement. It's like I can't, you know, it's like talking to this young couple that's going to be here next week. Talking to them about walking away from the jobs they walked away from. They're so excited. They just talk your ear off. They're just like, yes, I know, my soul knows. This is what I'm hungry for. This is what it is. This is what God wants me to do. This is what actually God wants to do through me. So let me ask you, if we don't preach Christ, who's going to? The government's not going to do it. Hey, even if the government tried to evangelize the world, if the government did it, they'd mess it up. Just like they do everything else. What about angels? Couldn't angels have done a better job? Well, for some reason, he didn't choose angels. He chose people who had been redeemed. See, angels don't know what it's like to be redeemed. But people who have been redeemed, people whom he has gifted, people whom he has called to carry on this work. And so that's the last thing I want to tell you is he not only sends us, but he equips us. He says, if I send you, I'm going to prepare you. I'm never going to send you where I don't go before you and go with you. I'm never going to ask you to do anything that I'm not going to empower you to do. The most meaningful, significant thing that you and I can ever do with our time here on planet Earth is to go. To be right with God, to be a disciple, and let him work through me as I proceed from place to place in my daily life and throughout my lifespan, to go for him. And when I have been involved in the last thing he wants to be involved in, he'll call me home. He'll call you home. And here's the thing.